We are continuing our series called Couch to 5 Pray. You may have heard of Couch to 5K. That pales in comparison to what we've got going here. Couch to 5 Pray is designed to take you from being a prayer potato to a prayer warrior. And it's a 6-week course. If you've been following along, we've had 2 sessions so far. You're almost halfway home. After today, you will be. And then we're going to be prayer warriors as we get unleashed in the world around us. Today, we're going to talk about, I got to turn that on first. There we go. We're going to talk about listening up, and the story comes out of 1 Kings. I hope it's a story that you can relate to. But before we get to scripture, I want to engage your imaginations this morning. I want to have you really engage the thinking caps and put yourself in this situation. You're a person who lives in a very turmoil-filled country. There's a lot of injustice going on around you. You're a Christian in a Christian family. You want to do something about this, so you devote yourself to prayer, and you're asking God, God, how would you use me in this situation? How can I inject light and hope and peace in this crazy world that is going on around me? And you pray daily. And here's the cool thing. God answers your prayer. Because of what God does through you, there is a best-selling book written about your life. It sells millions of copies around the world. It's even so popular, it gets made into a best-selling motion picture, major motion picture. It's translated into several languages. This word of good news of Jesus Christ travels to over 60 countries because of the way that you let God live through you, the way that you embodied Christ in turbulent times. That was your prayer, and that's what God answered. There's just one catch I forgot to mention. You never get to see it, because you were murdered before any of this happened, ruthlessly. And here's the best part. Nobody even knows your name. So, did God answer her prayer or not? See, that's the question that we're going to deal with today. What happens when we don't hear God? Because I'm willing to bet that you have a similar situation. Maybe it's not so drastic. I hope you don't end because of it. But you're dealing with stuff too. You're asking God questions. And we want, you know, we love God, the strong and silent type, right? But why is it when I need God to be strong, he's silent? God, I need you to speak. I need you to do something dramatic. And maybe, I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis. You're like, God, do something dramatic here. You can change this. You can heal this. Maybe it's a job situation. God, please don't let me be laid off. Or if you're laid off, God, please help me find a job. And all you hear is silence. Maybe it's something in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or the parents or the kids or whomever. There is no shortage of opportunity for us to be frustrated with what we think or don't think God is doing. We all pray. We all have times where God seems silent. The question is not, will you experience that? You will. The question is, what do you do when that happens? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We want God to do mighty miracles on the left side. We want to see the pillar of fire. Why? Because it always comes back to air power. That's my theory. But we also sit there on the rock, just staring into space, waiting for God to do something, anything. But quickly, please. I don't need to tell you to raise your hands, because I know you've all experienced this. And if you haven't, wow, you're... I started to say clueless. That's not true. You're in a different world. You will experience it. So the question is, how do we learn to deal with this? We're going to turn to scripture to a guy who experienced this very thing, the prophet Elijah. I'm going to be reading out of 1 Kings chapter 19 if you want to follow along here in just a second. But let me set the stage for what's going on. We talked about Elijah about 3 weeks ago. He was the prophet who confronted the prophets of Baal, had the 400 prophets. They had this mighty contest where the prophets of Baal did their thing. They tried to get the sacrifice to their God to take the sacrifice. And Elijah said, you know what? I'm going to pray to my God. But before you do that, let's douse this sacrifice with water. Not once, but 3 times. And you do your thing and see if God takes your sacrifice. I'll do my thing and see what my God does. And there literally is this giant pillar of fire comes down and consumes not just the sacrifice, but the altar and everything around it. And then there's a tremendous victory for the God of Israel, right? Well, this is after that, because the queen, Jezebel, found out what Elijah had done. And she was a bad, bad person. You know how she's a bad, bad person? This is the litmus test. How many girls today do you know named Jezebel? Am I lying? Right? Way to go, Adolf. Yeah, no, nobody... Nobody names their kids after incredibly evil people. That's how you know how bad she was, right? So she was after Elijah. She said, may this son not set until I have done to you what you did to them. So what's Elijah's response? You would think after this mighty miracle, he would say, yeah, bring it. I got God on my side. But you know what he does? He runs. He hides. And he bemoans the fact that he's all alone. In fact, it's so bad that right before the section that I'm going to read, he pleads with God to take his life. He said, God, I'm all alone. This isn't working. Just take me now. That's where he's at. And he's hiding in a cave. This guy who just witnessed this mighty miracle of God, hiding in a cave, saying, just take me now. So let's pick up the story as God finds Elijah in the cave. We're going to be reading from 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. And the question I want you to ponder for the rest of our time together. Am I listening or am I filtering? Am I listening to what God has to say or am I just filtering until I hear what I want God to say? Let's pick up the story. This is Elijah I'm talking about. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words we are grateful. This needs some unpacking, does it not? This is a prophet who has just been a part of a great work of God, hiding in a cave. And there's two things I really want to highlight here. The first is God's question, what are you doing here, Elijah? He asks him that twice. When is the last time that God asks, where are you? How about Genesis? Does that ring a bell? Right after Adam and Eve sinned, that God came down and said, where are you? Did God not know where they were? It wasn't that God didn't know where they were. They don't know, where are you? Where are you in your headspace? Where are you in your soul space? What are you doing here? Why are you in a cave? I've got things for you to do. You're the anointed one, my prophet. You're the one who's supposed to be telling the world about me. Why are you here, Elijah? And his answer at the first is that you get the idea. I'm all alone. They're not listening. They kill everybody. They're trying to kill me too. And so God does this mighty display. There's fire, there's earthquake, there's earth, wind, and fire, right? There's all this stuff that happens, but God's not in that. And he is unmoved. He doesn't even come out of the cave until the whisper comes. And then the question comes again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And what answer is, my bad. I should be out on mission. That's the New Bill version. That's actually not in the Bible. What he says is exactly the same thing. I'm all alone. They're not listening. They're killing everybody. They're trying to kill me too. Elijah is unchanged by any of this. But you notice he didn't come out for the fire or the earthquake or the wind. He came out because of a gentle whisper. And when he heard, he had the same response. So here's the other interesting thing about this passage to me. So Elijah says the same thing twice. After all this miraculous display and all that stuff that you saw on the last slide, he comes out and he has the same exact response. Nothing changes. This is a man who is depressed. This is a man who is disconnected from his mission, his purpose in life. This is a man who's given up. The good news is God has not given up on him. And so you would think after the second time that Elijah is all depressed, he goes, oh, woe is me. They're trying to kill everybody. God would go, oh, man, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take out Jezebel. I'm going to bring in an airstrike of airstrikes. Just let me handle this, okay? Again, the New Bill version, but not what's in here, right? So what does he do? He says, go back the way you came and do your job. That's my paraphrase. Is that a God of comfort? Is that a prayer answered? Like, go back and do your job, prophet. No, what it is a little tough love. See, I'm convinced that when we are disconnected for the purpose for which we are made, we get depressed. We feel isolated. We feel like nothing's working, no one's listening, everybody's after me. That's a man who's disconnected from purpose, is what that is. And so what does God do? He re-gives him a purpose. Go back. The way you came, anoint this king. You know what? This king is going to take care of all that stuff that you're worried about. And sure enough, if you know the story of Jezebel, it does not end well for her. That's another sermon for another time. But often, God does things in a whisper that we can't even imagine, that have ramifications over centuries, over lifetimes, over eternity, that he doesn't do with brute force. Let that sink in for just a second, because every time that you think God should do something dramatic, like we want that mighty miracle, and he just whispers or he stays silent, he's still at work. In fact, he's probably doing something that you can't even imagine, that's going to have ramifications that we can't even think of. That's the power of the God that we serve. So as we unpack the scripture, I want to do an experiment. I planted something in this room. Don't worry, it's not going to blow up. I probably should have led with that. I planted something in this room on Thursday. It's been here ever since. It's been here since you walked in this morning. It makes a sound. And so I'm going to challenge you in these next few seconds. I want us to get as quiet as possible. And I want to see if we can hear the sound that has been here all along, but you probably missed it because of all the other noise around us. All right, so everybody take a deep breath, silence yourself, and listen. Anybody hearing anything that you don't normally hear?
I hear a clock.
What's that?
I hear a clock.
A clock ticking, no way. Really? What's it sound like? Anybody else hear it now? If you hear it, raise your hand. Ooh. So did you hear it before Gina said that? You did? Good. I was really hoping that nobody deaf sat there, but yes. Okay, so here's the cool thing. Now that she's described that there is a clock ticking and you see where she's sitting and she's the one that heard it, I want us to try again and listen to see if you can hear the sound of a clock ticking in proximity to Gina. Do you hear it now? This is so cool, isn't it not? Right? So, Seth, reach under your chair. There it is. It's a clock. It's amazing. So this is so cool. This is going to preach, folks. Just stay with me for just a second. That has been talking, tick-talking, all along since you walked in the door, but nobody heard it until we paused and we got silent. And then Gina heard it, and she was the first one to say it. But when she described it, now we knew what to listen for, right? And then as we tried it again, we've had more people understand that that was a clock ticking and they could listen for that specific thing. They began to hear it too. And you may not have seen it. I get a better view up here, but you start to see this. People leaning, right? You get to lean, or you get, oh, that's my bad ear. Right? Or you get to Victoria, what's the RCA dog? You know, that one? I saw all of that. I saw the body language. I saw the intent. I saw the silence. I saw some people even afraid to breathe because you didn't want to miss the ticking of the clock. What if we took all of that and took that to prayer? Think about it. We get quiet. We listen. We lean in. We know what we're listening for. We're listening for the voice of God. And we know what that sounds like because we've read about it here. He'll never go against his character. He'll never tell us something that he wouldn't do himself. Jesus Christ came to model the way that he lives, so we have an idea of the kinds of things he might say. And now that we know what that is, we know what to listen for, and we lean in a little bit more. And now, where we couldn't hear God because God was silent before, now it's loud and clear. What if we took that to prayer? Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what the woman that I was talking about earlier did. She silenced herself and listened for God. This is a true story. By the way, I didn't make that up. This is a true story. So this woman is famous for saying this. I'm going to quote it, and then we're going to try and guess who it is. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Anybody know who that is? Corrie Ten Boom. Boom. Wrong. It's very close. So the best-selling book that was written is called The Hiding Place. The situation is World War II. It was turned into a movie, The Hiding Place. The message of this person's life was carried to over 60 countries. It's not Corrie Ten Boom. It's Betsy Ten Boom, Corrie's sister. Yes, see, we don't even know her, except for a few really aficionados. I didn't know her in the audience. We don't really know her name. Her name was Betsy Ten Boom, and she was the ears that heard. If she hadn't heard and imparted that to Corrie, Corrie may never have done what Corrie did. Corrie was the one who took the message to over 60 countries. Corrie was the one who wrote the book that sold, I don't know how many millions of copies. Corrie was the one that worked through to produce the major motion picture. Betsy did not survive. But Betsy mastered the art of listening. And it was Betsy in those darkest moments, because what they were doing was they were harboring Jews from the Nazis. They literally had a hiding place. There's still a museum that you can go to today, the Ten Boom Museum, and you can crawl inside the hiding place. My family and I actually had the opportunity to do that at one time. It's pretty creepy to imagine the fear and the anxiety that went there. They got caught. The whole family got deported. Only Corrie survived. She was the only survivor out of her whole family because they were taken to concentration camps. But here's the thing. This is a nice, peaceful picture. This is Betsy praying early on, please, you know, let me know what I can do, God. Let me be a part of this. But this is the harder part, to listen. If you read the accounts, Corrie got a little bit bitter in the concentration camp. She wanted to take it out on the guards that were taking it out on her. It was Betsy. You can pick which one that is by the peaceful expression. It was Betsy was the one who was saying, no, we need to forgive. I'm still listening. Jesus tells us the sheep know my voice and they will follow me. See, it's easy to follow when we're sitting here in church in the nice air conditioning. It's a little harder to follow here, but she insisted. Betsy was the ears. Corrie was the voice. But without Betsy, there is no Corrie. Without the ears, there's no voice. This message would not have gone to millions and millions of people, would not have gone to 60 countries, would not have become a major motion picture. It just would have died on the vine. But she never saw it. In a very freak way, Corrie was released from the concentration camp in December of 1944. For you history buffs, they were in Ravensbrück. Let's see how good you are with history. She was in Ravensbrück concentration camp, which was liberated in what month in 1945? I really hope nobody knows this. You would be a real geek if you did. April. Corrie gets released in December 1944, 5 months before the camp is liberated, on a clerical error. Some secretary typed something wrong. She got released. Betsy didn't. Betsy died a month before the camp was liberated. She never got to see any of what Corrie did with her story. And most of us don't even know Betsy's name. So did God answer her prayer or not? See, we don't have to be alive to see the final version of God's answer. God is eternal. I have a feeling that Betsy's upstairs watching Corrie going, you go, girl. And we can too. It's called listening prayer. So far we've had three sessions. The first session, we talked about having an outline by which we can use to fill in our blanks for that day. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's not meant to be said as an incantation. It's meant to be an outline to fill in each day. That's our first step. And the second step was what? What did we cover last week? This is a very memorable sermon series. Yeah, last week we talked about the prayer closet. You don't have to pray in public. You don't have to use fancy words or King James English. Just tell God what's on your heart. And now we're going to add one thing. So if you remember from the first, the morning prayer was the outline. That's the Lord's Prayer that you fill in your own blanks based on those categories. If you need to see this, go back to YouTube, go back to our website. You can watch it again. The next one was praying in your quiet place. That's your end of the day debrief. Where did I see God? Where did I miss God? That's the end, right, where you just say what's on your heart. You don't have to say anything. In fact, he can even speak deep to your heart, to your soul. Now we're going to add one more thing. I'm going to ask you, as you pray, to listen. You're thinking, well, Bill, isn't prayer a conversation? It's supposed to be. But most conversations I've been a part of involve me talking and then listening. Most people that I watch pray, it's all talk. And no listen. And if it is listen, it's filtered listening. Bill, go this way. Not really feeling it, God. How about the best 3 out of 5? Let's try that again. Nobody else has ever done that, I'm sure, right? Jonah, we can name all kinds of people that God told to do something. They're like, nope, checking out. So listening involves not only processing, but actually doing what we hear God tell us to do, even if it doesn't make sense to us. It makes sense to him. It's part of the plan. So here's how you do listening prayer. I want to encourage you to set a timer, maybe even a clock that ticks. I don't know. Seth's got a spare one, right? Set a timer. I challenge you for 3 minutes to sit in the kind of silence that we sat in when we were trying to hear the clock. Absolutely stop. Sit still. Breathe. Let the tension go. Lean in. Try to hear the ticking of God's voice. Do that for 3 minutes. You're going to feel like it's 3 years because we are so unused to silence in our community today. There's always something in our ear. It's a phone. It's earbuds. It's the angry driver. It's the voice in our heads. All that needs to stop to hear that level of the voice of God. I challenge you, 3 minutes. If you get by with 3 minutes, go to 4. If you go by 4, go by 5. I feel like an auctioneer. That's my final offer, right? But keep expanding until you hear the voice of God. That's the ultimate goal, is not how much time I spent in silence. The ultimate goal is, did I hear the voice of God? Do that however long it takes, is my advice. Lean in and listen. And that listening isn't just hearing. It's like, okay, processing, got it, God. I don't think that's the way I would go, but if you tell me, I'll do it. You'll be amazed at what happens after that. It may not be comfortable. In fact, it probably won't be comfortable. I'll just say that up front. I've never followed God. When I felt like God was specifically pointing me in a direction, I followed it. I was never comfortable. I'm not even comfortable now. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, am I doing what he asked me to do? You'll be amazed at what he can do with that. So here's what I want you to do. This is your challenge. Build up your listening time. And anybody who sees anybody from Union Chapel in this pose, don't worry, they're just praying. They're doing the listening prayer. That's the best graphic I could find. I was like, give me one that's really intently listening for someone that's listening to a clock, and this is what I got. So please don't look like that all the time. People will think there's something wrong with you. But listen, literally try to listen until you hear that voice of God. And maybe today then is the day where we understand that God is strong and silent, and he chooses when to be strong. And he chooses when to be silent. But maybe today is the day that we stop demanding and stop filtering that he do something dramatic. And maybe we embrace the whisper or even the silence. Because God is always at work. I'm convinced that God is always speaking. The only question that remains, will you listen? Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who acts. Thank you that you are a God who doesn't always act. You sometimes ask us to do things. You're not a God that's a genie in a bottle. You're not a vending machine where we put our request in, pull a lever, and voila, something happens. You're a God that involves us. While we sit here on earth and cry and whine and say, do something, God, you're saying, do something, Bill. Do something for me. Here's your mission. Go and make disciples. Go and tell the good news. Listen and follow me, even when it's not making sense. Especially in the hardest of times. Maybe that's a powerful witness that somebody else needs to see. Maybe there's some other reason that I don't see, God, but you do. So, God, I give you full permission to speak whatever you need to speak, not that you need my permission. God, what I'm really saying is I give you full surrender to speak into my life. That's my prayer for Union Chapel, that you would speak into our lives, not of comfort, but of calling. And when we find that calling, we connect to the reason that we were made by the one who made us, and we hear your voice. We will find great comfort in that. We will find great strength, great courage, great calling for a great God building a great kingdom. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Call us to something greater than ourselves so that we know that it's you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.